Hi, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my car ride home from work. If you hear the blinker in the background, that is exactly what I'm doing. I really am recording this in the car. And each week, we try to do about 10 minutes or so talking shop about a topic, with the idea being that it's something that we can talk about in close detail here for 10 minutes, and then you can put it in your classroom literally like tomorrow, which is awesome. I do work as an instructional coach at a high school in Arlington, Virginia. I love my job, and I love talking about school stuffs because it gets me fired up to brainstorm with smart people. So after I do these brain dumps here onto the podcast, I encourage you to reach back out, continue the conversation with me, let me know how you're using the topics in the classroom. Because this week, we're talking all about YouTube. And if I want to hear about YouTube, I certainly want to hear from you. So let's talk about YouTube in the classroom and the ways that we could apply it. In 10 minutes, if you've never used YouTube in the classroom, we might have some ideas. And at the same time, if you are using YouTube, I would love very much to steal ideas from you and to continue them in our discourse together. So feel free to message me on Twitter after the podcast. I'm at MeehanEDU. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching. And I would love to talk about it with you. So let's talk about YouTube. Gosh, right? This is, they said, behind only Google, YouTube is like the number one most popular site on the entire World Wide Web. So much of, or all of the world's content is being communicated now through quick videos and visuals. And it may be a sort of mark of the generation or sort of a sign of the times, but if I have to fix something or repair something or do something at my house, rather than looking up instruction manuals on Google, my first inclination now is to go to YouTube. Rather than using like industry-specific vernacular or terminology, I had my Roomba break the other day. I had to change like one of the sprockets inside of the Roomba for my little vacuum in the house. I could go to the iRobot's website and learn all about how they've built these things and then reverse engineer it with things that were written in very detailed engineering type speak. Or I can just go to YouTube and search for repair brush on Roomba and the model number, and it pops it up. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that YouTube is a great teaching tool for a number of resources and reasons. I had a taillight go out in my car the other day, and I went into AutoZone, and I asked the guy, hey, can I get this fixed here, or how do I do it? And he says, oh, just go to YouTube. And he said, just type in the name of your car and the year or the model number or the model type, and there'll be a video that you can walk right through the whole thing. And then you can literally pause the video as you're doing it, so you can repeat those steps through the process. And how crazy is that, right? Like, that's so different. I know when the first thing I did when I learned how to drive is I got the manual, the owner's manual that sits in my glove box. And the glove box was in case of emergency at the side of the road. You can always pull it out and fix any problem. We are so past that now. And it's not because that was a bad thing. It was because it was an attempt to teach people how to teach themselves. But that's exactly what YouTube is doing, and it's doing it faster. So think about ways, as an educator, that you have made strides in your own teaching that have been made easier by video. And how can we, just as consumers of video, use that same model or methodology in our own classrooms? While at the same time, if you feel like you want to be a content creator, how can we use YouTube to sort of further magnify that? So I guess I'll take the rest of this podcast and split it in two parts. I'll talk about consumers first, and then we'll spend the end of the podcast talking about some content creation ideas. But as far as consuming goes, certainly regardless of your content area, there are a million things out there on YouTube that can help. If you've ever done something like a flipped lecture or a flipped classroom where you send your students home to like learn the concept and then they come back into class and have to like do what would have otherwise been the homework, like the projects are happening in the classroom. There are a ton of resources from like professional and vetted and like university accredited stuffs on the internet, and YouTube is a home for so many of them. Something like when we were in class as kids, maybe watching like Bill Nye the Science Guy to teach us about, you know, reactions between like solids, liquids, and gases, or something like, you know, acids and bases. Watching Bill Nye talk about that stuff was really kind of engaging. Then the teacher would, of course, pause it at a certain point, and it was a VHS tape, so I'm showing my age. And then they talk about, okay, so watch for this next part, and then you can have a feel for XYZ as it kind of comes through the YouTube. So that's an idea, too, is the idea of, hey, guys, go home and watch this concept or this lab or this activity we're about to do in class tomorrow, and take some notes on what you're seeing, how it plays out, maybe some guiding questions or some prompt items. So as students are consuming that content, you can make sure that they're actually engaging with it, that they're not just sort of blowing it off or marking time. One or two great prompt questions. You can take a YouTube video and link to it on your LMS, for example, and then put up on your course discussion forums or like a dialogue board that you have, even something as simple as like a Microsoft Word document hosted online, which we call Google Docs. Just let people have a conversation about what they're watching. Hey, what did you see here? What did you like? Put a timestamp that was of interest to you. So you can make sure that there is a level of engagement with the content, which is super helpful. There are other tools out there that take YouTube and sort of put it on social media steroids at the next level. Apps like, or the website like Edpuzzle is great. It can take your YouTube and you can embed questions right into it. So I'll do another episode in the future, maybe next week, on how Edpuzzle works. But YouTube is awesome for getting information about just about anything. And I guess the big secret when you are a content consumer is making sure that as your students are consuming that content, that they are in fact taking meaningful work product delivery. Otherwise, it really does become an exercise of just sort of watching videos and having like electronic babysitters. So if you're using YouTube at home, that's an awesome way to do it. If you want to use YouTube in your classroom, something that works about YouTube is small group self-guided stuffs. Traditional substitute plan lecture day is, I can't give a lecture because I'm not there, so why don't you just go ahead and watch this video and take some notes on it. Now, because many computers are not even being built with DVD players anymore, right? We have to get students to watch these videos, and so we just say, okay, here's the link to the YouTube video, have students watch and take notes. What I found is even more effective than that is to break that into a series of smaller videos, and the students get them printed out, either the URLs or QR codes, on an individual worksheet, and they self-guide their way through that worksheet by watching those different videos. So maybe you print four different QR codes on a printed sheet of paper, and next to each QR code you have like a big box where students like write their notes on that found item. It's more active consumption of content, which sounds sort of crazy and maybe micromanaged, but I'm always really frustrated in a classroom where if I was trying to watch a movie as a student and some student sneezed or coughed, or the air conditioning kicked on, or the telephone rang, or someone said something in a small way, like I was distracted for 0.5 of a second, and suddenly I missed that key point about what to do. You hear that horn in the background? But like missing that key point of the lecture, not for any fault of my own, just because I happen to be in a classroom where someone did a human thing and it happens. So using YouTube as that broken down smaller piece allows kids to scrub backwards in videos or to like rewatch a piece if they didn't get something. And I love that as a consumer, that they also then become architects of their own education, where it's not just sit and get, it's sit and interact. And then it's sort of tell me how you're knowing what you're knowing. Which is a great first step as an inroad to something like content creation. And I'll talk about creation here for the last couple minutes of the podcast. Using YouTube to film what you are doing, whether it's a presentation or it's a recitation or it's a project or it's an in-class activity. Sending students home and saying, hey, I need you guys to make a skit. Film it. And then we're going to do it in class the next day, and we'll do like a big presentation day. I like it for a number of reasons. One, if you don't like what you filmed, you can refilm it again and again and again, which is nice because students then get that testing to mastery. If they know their name is attached to something that's permanent and recorded, how much stronger those presentations could be. And likewise, they've committed those things to memory again and again as they sort of flub their lines or record it again two or three times to really get that process figured out. And the good news is that teachers in the 21st century, we don't really have to teach them like editing software. All this stuff is kind of native to phones now, and they can kind of teach themselves. So take comfort in the fact that even if you don't know how iMovie works or how Final Cut works or any of these fancy After Effects on devices, students are pretty game for this stuff. They're using it in their own free time with like Snapchat and filters or Instagram, and they will figure it out how to put this stuff together, and they'll surprise you. And letting them just sort of document their own learning through these creative visual mediums, video mediums, is an awesome way to help them model how to do the same thing in life outside of school, which is a great, like, real-world strategy, or life outside of school strategy, too. I also like the fact that when they do those sorts of things and they upload it to YouTube, they can give you the link and you can keep those links private so that students don't have to feel that their information will be shared out for the whole wide world to see. At the same time, you can also make them public or put them into digital portfolios so they become aware of things like their digital footprint and they recognize that there is something to be said for making these portfolios that will be seen by more than just two or three people. When we know we're performing for an audience, we tend to have a real, like, oh, pressure's on sort of thing, which can make people freeze up, but it can also make people really deliver some incredible products too. So that's a great idea. And even if you're just doing awesome stuff in the classroom every day, using your own phone or your own device and getting video of that. Students give a presentation and you film it. You put it online, and it's great for newsletters. It's great for parents. It's great for letting families, hey, there's real learning going on here. And it lets your students know that they matter. They feel like superstars. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for paying attention. I would love to hear more from you. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at mihanedu. And I would love to continue our conversation about how you are using YouTube in your classes. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with Let's Talk About Edpuzzle.